Blog Talk Radio.
Away, away from the noise. Alone with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire is to worship you. I live to worship you. I live to worship you.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Ahaya, Bahashem, Yeshaya. Brothers and sisters, Mishpachah, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Shabbat show here at Kabul Mountain, Yasharel, where we come together to enjoy the seventh day of rest, the Shabbat. It is my prayer that you are increased on today. This is Elder V, and I know that this is a day that Haya has made for us for rest, and I rejoice despite everything that's transpiring in this chaotic world that we live in. We like here to always come before His presence with singing and thanksgiving, like He told for us to do. And it's important to be in His presence. And I pray that this morning you are appreciating and basking in His presence. Want to see how my good brother's doing and welcome him into the show, Elder Ardre. Elder Ardre, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing? Shabbat shalom to the Beit House of Israel. To Beta Israel, Shabbat Shalom to you all that are scattered across the nations. Welcome to another Shabbat, another teaching. We never take for granted your listening ears and your presence. So on behalf of myself and on behalf of Elder V, we welcome you. Also, I would like to say, which is a custom on my broadcast on Wednesdays or the fourth day, to those of you who are in the PM, well, first of all, in the AM time, we are in the United States. We're particularly in California, but to those of you in the United States, we would like to say good morning to you and to those who are in the AM part of the, PM part of the day. Like to say good evening to you, and those of you who are in the afternoon part, good afternoon to you all.
Brothers and sisters, we definitely do thank you for tuning in and listening in to these shows and all the support that you show. But really, the support that you show is the support that you show to gain more knowledge, to fellowship, to come together, and to show a unification, a fortified front, that we as a people are waking up, Israel. So Zion, put on your strength as we emerge into the prominence that the Most High has established for us. It's such a blessing to hear so many people waking up in this chaotic world we're living in. But one thing's for sure is that we are living in the end times of the Gentile rule. And Israel is preparing to emerge. And that's an increase, that's a blessing. And we don't take anything that we do for granted, but we try to be obedient to the Ruach, and it's leading and guidance. So, you know, with that said, brother, there's some things I wanted us to talk about before we get into the lesson. And okay. Also, thanks for all the, we were just looking at the archives, and we are greatly encouraged by the increases in the archives, so therefore we do take what we bring to the forefront serious. But there's some things I want to talk about and bring about, because I every now and then I get the opportunity to hear what's going on out there, you know, and it's not so much what's going out there. I think that I just kind of want to talk about, and you chime in on this, Elder Ardre, is that I think a lot of people want to know why we are trying to put people back into bondage and make them live these laws, because they say we're preaching and teaching the laws and that this is the way you must live your life. And I can't think of how many times we've overly emphasized that we understand that there may not have been 613 laws. We know that 613 have been pushed, so therefore people identify with the 613. So more importantly, we know that the full summation of the Mosaic laws, Musa, that were given were all summarized into 10 commandments that sum up the whole of the law, which we are required to keep, most of all the Shabbat and the feast. And a lot of our people are learning that and emerging into that. So I often hear a lot of people that are like, oh, he's trying to put us back up under the rod. And even though when the Messiah comes back and puts us in the wilderness, he's going to put us under the rod again. Ezekiel speaks of that. And that's going to be a weeding out process, because once again, there under the rod, many people aren't going to want to keep the laws. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. We've become a lawless society. And you got anything you want to add to that?
No, go ahead.
Well, it's just that I believe that a lot of people are under the impression, you know, I heard one brother saying that we shouldn't be trying to have people chase their tails. And, you know, I respect all my brother's teaching, because one thing I don't believe in anymore at this point in the game, let me say it like this, that we should be causing division amongst ourselves. This is a time for unification, a fortified front, as the diaspora and the 12 tribes are preparing themselves to assemble together in the wilderness and up under this rod of the Most High. There's no such thing as saying that there's only one particular type of teaching that's more fruitful for our people at this time. I realize that the diaspora has a plethora of topics they need to cover in order to prepare our people. Some are actually talking about the fact that you are the people. Some are talking about the laws. Some are talking about political events. Some are talking about vaccinations and health and how they're trying to destroy us and kill us. And some are talking about Bible prophecy. But to try and position yourself to be the keynote speaker for the Hebrew Israelites, or to be try and set yourself up to be a subjugator over our people and draw more attention to yourselves and say what they're teaching is not necessary or essential, is a trick of Satan and a separation and diversion, deflection of everything we're trying to accomplish. Because as our levels of faith are different, the learning of certain people are different, and there are things needed for people in different areas as they are waking up. I think it's essential for us to talk about what the Most High gave our people to conduct them, to conduct their lives, what he provided as a construct for them, so that we better understand what we got away from and understand what he expected out of us. But let me emphasize and be emphatic about the point that the 613 became the 10, and Christ summed it up with the 2. And I was under the impression that you and I cover that every Shabbat, but I think we oversimplify. Oh, well, Christ just said, just do these 2 and you don't have to do anything. And I think it's important to magnify what the 2 summed up and the fact that the 10 are essential. And I think that the 10 should be in your heart. But to say that it's unnecessary to talk about certain points of the law that should be common sense and things like that, I think that's I think that's ridiculous, because we know common sense is not common, and that Satan and his demons are on the rise, and that people are back in violation. They are immoral, and they're doing some of the most detestable,
wicked,
foulest things you can think about. Wicked. And we have to put this law in their face so that they can see how wicked they've become. I made a point on Thursday night, Straight No Chaser, that the reason people don't like truth is because truth is light, and our brother Messiah, Yeshua, is truth and light. And when you begin to shine the light on people, you expose what they're doing in the darkness. And most people, when they're exposed, are ticked off if they're not ready to become transparent. Only those who want to be transparent about their previous deeds and want to be free will walk into the light from all of the darkness. So therefore, we can't sit up here and say, oh, we know not to be going around here having sex with animals. We know that's bestiality. Oh, we know not to be having sex with our sister. We know that's incest. No, people are doing this stuff.
Right now.
Again, right now. And we need to cry out loud and spare not. So it's not a matter of us getting people to do something that's redundant or going in circles. No, we're crying out against sin and showing you where it's relevant in the law and how it's relevant in today's time. But we have an onus to keep the Ten Commandments. And I'm not going to tell you to do like Christ said, the two, until you understand the ten. And it's our prayer that you'll better see the ten when we tell you of the other Mosaic laws that really break down into categories. And maybe you can help me with this. Dietary laws, moral laws, and ceremonial
clothing.
Laws. Ceremonial laws, right. And there's one more. But that's what I wanted to say on the subject.
Just add just a little to what the elder said. I really don't care what the church has to say about it, the negative comments that the church shoots out. I expect that from them. But I do care what our fellow brothers and sisters of the House of Israel who have waken up, when they shoot at us with negative comments, you know, that hurts. I just want to tell the House of Israel that even, you know, I listen to you. I listen to, you know, various teachings, particularly one because they do a lot of research and they go into it. And because I said that, you probably know who you are. I don't agree with all of your teachings, but I'm not going to hammer you. I'm not going to speak anything negative. That's how pretty much denominations get started. So as we're coming out, let us support each other. You're not going to hear in war, you're not going to have the Navy fighting with the Marines. It'd be stupid. They're one team, even though they're a division. They're one team doing different things. And so in this war, in this battle, even though you may not agree with everything we say, just like we may not agree with everything you say, let's support one another and love one another, that we'll be one, and so that the world will see that we're one instead of us fighting each other. And so I just want you to know, Beta Israel, that I love you, and I'm not gonna scandalize anybody. If you talk about me, fine. I'm not going to scandalize you, though. And I just want you to know that. I support you, and I'm praying for you. And I'll continue to listen or watch you on YouTube or whatever you're at. And so, you know, and that's basically all I have to say on that matter.
Right. That's basically all I have to say. It's important that we establish a unified front. I realize that something's getting ready to transpire, and we're not going to get our lesson is basically going to be through the Torah and the laws. But if I were to get into a prophetic vein, things have began with Iran, and they are beginning with Iran so that they can release the beast of Iran, the Medes, the Persians that are getting ready to attack America. But I want to say, let's not forget that Ahmadinejad and the people of Iran know that the lost tribes are over here and what was done to us. And it is the Father that's going to stir them up. And so it is crucial and critical that we come back to the Most High, unified, and understand and learn these laws, because it is scripture that those that keep these commandments will be sealed up. Some of you are going to get passports and run and go run somewhere, but destruction is coming upon the earth. Yeah, Babylon is going to fall, but destruction is coming upon the earth. And there will be those that will be purged through the fire, that will go through the fire, but there will be a strong percentage that will be destroyed. Those are the ones that don't have the so-called common sense, that are living in wickedness. But those that are keeping the laws, I do believe that you must do things to be prepared to move when it's time to move, or to be in a spiritual vein. But I also believe that I know that you can't just sit back and just wait and not do anything. But the most important thing you must do is not be of fear, be of faith, and be watchful, prayerful, discerning, And you got to have an ear. And I can say, brother, you know, elders, some of the stuff that we've been learning from the Torah and the laws has been transforming my life.
Oh, man, for sure.
So despite what anyone says about the rod, how hard it is, such thing as his commandments being grievous, they're not grievous. They show your love for the Most High, the Higher. They demonstrate it.
Right.
So, and I'm saying that because I don't want to get into the prophetic realm that, I, you know, something I'll share with you a little bit later. But you and I talked before that this thing is going to come on the earth and upon America as a woman in travail. And those who are not listening and that are not ready are going to just be blown away in shock at what's going to transpire. So we are living in the end times. And brothers and sisters know that within the next 4 months, that this whole way of life that you understand or you think you know it is going to transition and transform. And I admonish you to transform yourself. Be ye renewed by the transforming of your mind. With that being said, you know, we can move into the lesson, or if you're done, we can take a musical break and prepare.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay, brothers and sisters, welcome back to the lesson we're about to move into. So let's get it. We're going to get into the next few points, in particular laws that were Mosaic laws that were given to Musa for our learning, for our edification. And today we're going to go to a particular one that is, so far we've covered up to 25 of them. We're moving into the 25th one. No sequential order. We're just numbering them so that we can kind of keep up with them from show to show. We'll deal with this whole number thing at another time, about 613. We'll break that down. But for right now, we want to keep the numbers. And we're going to talk about the fact that one of the laws that was brought out was in reference to tassels, fringes, and tzitzits. And the reason that the Most High had us wearing fringes, tzitzits, and tassels. And I'm going to look at Numbers 15 and 39, which kind of speaks to that particular point. Numbers 15 and 39, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Ahiah and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a whoring. You want to speak on that, bro?
Yes, it's like, first of all, let me explain what this, the Hebrew word tzitzit is. If you read, actually, Elder, if you don't mind, can you read 38?
Sure.
If that, then I can explain as well.
Numbers 15, 38. Speak unto the children of Yasharel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. 15 and 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Ahiah and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring.
Okay, thank you. 38 explains the tzitzit, why he uses blue. Blue is to represent the Shamayim, the heavens, that that this is not from earth, that you are to remember earthly things, but you are to remember the heavenly things, which is the blueprint. What Ahiah gave Musa was the blueprint of what already is in the Shamayim, in the heavens. And so this tzitzit, as it says in 39, is to remind us of the commands, and it's at the border. Now, if you can turn with me to Deuteronomy, which is also in the Hebrew called Devarim, 22:12. This is self-explanatory, but I want to break it down and show you that this was followed.
Deuteronomy 22:12. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself.
So there, Musa said that it covers thyself. You know, when you cover yourself with something, you're either covering yourself with some, like clothes, from nakedness, or for warmth, or for whatever it may be. And so he says there to cover yourself with these tzitzits or these tassels. Now, if Elder, if you can turn with me, and I'm going to read, we're mostly going to read out of King James today, but on this occasion, I'm going to read out of the Hallelujah Scriptures, because it will also break it down as well. 9, 20, and Matthew, or Matthew Yahoo, 9, 20, and 21.
Of what chapter?
Matthew 9, 20, and 21.
Ninth chapter?
Matthew 9. Yeah, ninth chapter.
Matthew 9, 20 and 21. And behold, a woman which was diseased. Is that the scripture?
Yeah.
And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.
Okay, and so the hem is the zizit. So I'm going to read it from the Hallelujah Scriptures. And it says, and see, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the zizit of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch the zizit of his garment, I shall be healed. Now, my question with that is, if this commandment wasn't important, or if it didn't mean anything, why was the Messiah wearing the zizit? And you don't have to go to Luke, but I will quote from Luke. I believe it's Luke 8, where he turned around and said that he felt power, or King James would say virtue, come out of him. And so this lady who touched the zizit, all she had, she didn't. She went and she just spent all her money visiting doctors and so on, and you know, Master knows what she went through. She was unclean, so if she had any kids, she couldn't see her kids, couldn't be with her husband. This was a bad situation, and the husband couldn't be with her, kids couldn't be with her because she's unclean, and so for her to come and touch the zizit of his garment. In other words, she went back to the word. She said, okay, so she went and she touched the word, the Torah, which is the Torah and the Messiah is one because he is the word. So when she came and touched the word, she became healed. And so in touching the zizit, remembering the commandments, remembering the teachings. Now, once again, I asked, why did the Messiah wear it if it wasn't important? And so if you can turn with me to John 14:15, that'd be St. John to the listeners.
John 14:15. With me.
15, yes.
Keep my commandments.
Wait, say that again because you kind of went off.
John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Okay, so, and while you're in the neighborhood, Elder, can you also turn to 15:10 of the same John 15?
John 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Keep it on 14. I'm sorry. Let's go to 21, St. John 14:21.
St. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Okay, and while you're still there, go to 23, verse 23.
Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Okay, so where did he get that from? He got that from Exodus 20:6. And I'll try to turn the air myself. I'm dealing with one arm today, listeners, so bear with me. And my brother has helped me out.
Hey, you didn't cut it off or anything, did you?
Huh?
You didn't...
No, I got gout in my arm, man. It's man. driving me crazy. 20 and 6.
And this is good scriptures for these, for you folks out here that keep going to Sunday worship and your pastor telling you you don't have to keep the commandments. These are good scriptures that you need to write down. Christ kept the commandments. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in me. He was, when he said commandments, what do you think that means? Don't let anybody downplay that word commandments. It means the commandments that people call
exactly. The
Old Testament law that's done away with. It's not done away with. So you need to write these scriptures down and keep them so that you can put that in your pastor's face that's teaching you these lies Sunday morning because he's lying to you. Come back to the Torah. I'm sorry, brother. I had to say that. Go ahead.
No. So when the Messiah mentioned in 14, and I didn't even give you chapter 15 because basically that was well, you explained it well. So he got that from Exodus 20 and 6, where it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What commandments? The same commandments. Well, in the New Testament, the same is no different commandments. And when you go to 1 John chapter 5, when basically he's saying the same thing, it's the same commandments. There aren't no... They obeyed the same commandments. And we as a people of Israel, that's a lifestyle with us. That's not only a lifestyle, it's a culture. Now, once again, he's talking to Israel. To those of you who, don't want to be a part of Israel, don't want to be in the Messiah, he's not talking to you. He's talking to Israel. If you want to be to those of you who want to be in the Messiah, want to be, Torah obedient, then this is for you.
You said something that's key that I got to bring out again. You said this is a lifestyle and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, good man, we are the people that don't have a lifestyle and culture. We think we fried chicken and watermelon and what we got from slavery, and we are lost people that don't have a country, nobody to fight for us. We are talking about this stuff so we could find out once again what our lifestyle and culture is. And that goes back to the beginning of the show, what we were talking about, the fact that, we're trying to put people under the rod. No, we're trying to show you who we are, what our lifestyle is supposed to be, what our culture is indicative of. And it's all wrapped up in these commandments, which is why they're trying to get you to do away with it and tell you don't have to do it. So, therefore, they're keeping our people lost with these lies in these churches on early Sunday morning.
Well, one thing about it, Elder, let me just mention, when I seen you, last time I seen you, you had your Zizit with you. And I seen this the other day. Matter of fact, it was after I studied this that I saw on YouTube some Native Americans.
Yeah.
And they were wearing the Zizits in their clothing.
Right.
And so, that lets me know that they also are a part of Beta Israel. And they, these are things that we should not take for granted, but we should return back to. And I myself, I'm gonna purchase one. You can get them now where you can just purchase the tassels in itself instead of buying, the whole thing, the tallit. Don't be ashamed because, people may look at you funny, but this is a culture thing. And remember, don't get it in no red, don't get it in no other color. Obey his command and get it in the blue and white or whatever it comes with. Oh, and can I hit on something else, Elder, while I'm here? Because I heard this some years ago, so I got to straighten this out. I heard a preacher say, it was a Gentile, a white preacher, he said that the blue represented heaven, but the white represented, white people. And this is like slavery, this is still slavery teaching. The white does not represent white people. It represents clean and righteousness and pure. And so that does not represent that. And I wanted to just throw that out there because I don't know who have heard that and believed it. You know, so it's ridiculous. I heard it on YouTube. So that just let you know it's not that long ago. And so I just it's ridiculous for me to say that, but I had to say it because someone else said it.
That's comical. I had to laugh at that. That was good for a laugh. That's just how far people will go with the lies, and that's how simple our people are. They'll believe it. They'll be like, that was deep. That is the white people. And that's just how simple people have been duped into this foolishness of believing these lies off of something like that, you know. So I'm not surprised, brother, coming from a Gentile. You got another thing you want to say before I close out?
No, I hope that is self-explanatory and that, you know, that you will look into it. And that when you see that the Messiah obeyed it, that ought to show, that ought to let you know that, okay, hey, he did it, it's all right for me to do it.
Right.
If he didn't do it, don't you do it. It's just that simple.
So,
do what he do.
So, brothers and sisters, you know, this is another part of our culture that we used to wear these fringes and tassels to remind us of the commandments and keep us from going out tripping, because your mind is a powerful tool that will wander. Jeremiah said it best in Jeremiah 9 and 13. He said, "And Ahiah saith, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them," meaning they stopped remembering, "and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imagination of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them." And Balaam also is something where our people say Lord, their Lord. Anyway, Jeremiah is pointing out that as soon as people stop remembering the commandments, they start to follow after the imaginations of their own hearts, whatever they can come up with to do, whatever their lusts are. So these fringes, you would have them on, so it'd be like, don't forget who you are and what you're supposed to do. So
that's a good example.
Look, people talking about you ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to do that. This is something I want to do because I need all the help I can get. I got the Ruach. But is it going to hurt me to have on a fringe, like you say, you saw me wearing it, that reminds me of my culture, who I am, the commandments, and my father, Ahiah? Nah, it's not going to hurt at all. So with that being said, we'll move on to the next one. The next one we want to talk about, which is not to blaspheme, talks about blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Find one of the precepts, get into some of the precepts as it pertains to blasphemy, but I'm going to start with Exodus 22 and 27. Exodus 22 and 27. "For that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin.
Well, you said Exodus 22.
Yeah, we got Exodus 22 and 27.
Oh, okay, okay. Just one second. I probably gave you the Exodus 20 and 5. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Exodus 20 and 5.
Exodus 20 and 5. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them." Images. You want me to start at verse 4?
Yes.
Okay. Exodus 20 and 4. "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." Now, that speaks of images. I think we already covered that. And then 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Ahiah, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me."
With that, I looked up, when I was studying this lesson, the scripture Exodus 23:13 came to mind, and we'll go through that one, and we also go through Hosea. But if you can turn with me to Exodus 23:13, and there's 1, 2, 3, there's about 4 scriptures pretty much saying similar things, but Exodus 23:13 and Hosea 2:17, I'm going to focus on.
Okay. Exodus 23:13?
Yes.
Exodus 23:13. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods. Let it be heard out of thy mouth.
Do not let it be heard.
Do not let it be heard.
I mean, let not it be heard. You
it
said
says,
let it be heard.
It says neither let it be heard out of thy mouth.
Right, right. So when you worship something, normally you mention the name of the person who you, I mean, the person or thing or image or whatever it may be that you worship and that you bow down to. Well, Ahiah says not to let it even be coming out of your mouth. Now, we as teachers, unfortunately, in order to teach you about these things, sometimes we do have to mention the name of these deities because that you know who they are and not to worship them. But in the norm, and I'm even trying to get out of that myself, but it's been kind of hard not to even mention these other deities. And I have a book here that is about 35 names that Israel worshipped of other deities of other nations, which I'm not going to bring them up unless the Ruach tells me otherwise. But that's blasphemous when you, especially when you don't even want to mention his name, which the Jews have done. They don't want to mention his name, but they can mention name of other gods. But you don't want to mention the one who can save you, you know, delivering you, set you free. You don't want to mention yours, but you know, because your excuse is so, if I can use this word, holy, that, you know, I can't mention it. Well, that's not in Scripture. He's telling you to call on his name. But when you call on other names and worship other names, that's blasphemous to him. And remember, he's a jealous, and I'm reading from the Hebrew, he's a jealous Elohim. He's jealous. And just to put it in body, just put it in his flesh, I wouldn't want my name, I wouldn't want my wife calling on another guy that she used to date or anything, or just, I don't want her calling. I mean, so just put it in the natural.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, I have to put that in the natural.
I'm trying to stay focused, brother. Come on. You can.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean,
I feel you, brother. I feel you. Everything would stop right then and there. Hold up, hold up.
Right, right. And I tell you what. I mean, I'm a little bit slightly off subject, but I tell you what. I don't want to. There's one person who I don't want to fight, and that's a person who is jealous over his woman, or you got him heated over, you know, over you're messing with his woman. You don't want to fight that brother, man, because he's coming with it. You know, because he's jealous.
Right.
The same word for jealous in the Hebrew is zealous, Z. So, Ahiah is not only jealous, but he's zealous for us.
Right.
And so, so that's blasphemous. And so you want to start in my daily prayer, because remember, I've been in church all my life. And so I'm still asking the Ruach to clean out and clear out any pagan name, any pagan deity, I mean, anything, just anything that's pagan, anything that's blasphemous in me, because I, you know, church has their blasphemous ways, to take it out of me. And so you know, that would be also my advice to you. You know, if you want to live right, if you want to do right, if you want to serve him, then ask him, ask the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, to cleanse you out from these, from calling anything, you know, worshiping anything. Now, if you don't mind me going on a little further, it can be anything. It can be, I mean, man, most people think of demonic spirits or whatever, but it can be cigarettes, it can be drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be anything. And by the way, those are spirits as well. So, you know, I'm not only talking about, you know, the things that you don't see, the demons and stuff like that. I'm talking about things that you do see, even your car. And so, Elder, do you want to add to that or anything?
Oh, no, go ahead.
So this scripture, let's put some flesh and bones on this. Let's apply it to our life and start cleaning ourselves out. You know, yes, to start cleaning ourselves out, thinking and asking him, even ask to, you know, bring up those things that you may not be aware of that's still in your spirit, still in your soul, that needs to be cleansed out, so that when he sees you, he don't see none of this stuff. He'll see only the blood that covers. Because remember, as it says in Romans 12, now you offer yourself as a living sacrifice, you know, so that you may be kodesh, you know, set apart for him and acceptable to him, which is, as it says, sure, that's the least you can do. That's your reasonable service. And so every day, if you're a priest of the Most High, cleanse yourself out. Get on that altar, on that brazen, spiritual brazen altar, and cleanse yourself out. And I would go deeper into that, but I'm going to leave that alone regarding Leviticus, I believe, what was that? Probably chapter 13, I think, where it talks about body parts, how they put it on there. That has some spiritual significance behind it, but I don't want to go deep into that right now because that'll take us off.
As far as blaspheming and putting the other names of gods and referring to him as other names and tattooing it on your bodies and things like that.
You asking a question?
Yeah. Is that what you're in reference to?
No, I was in reference to when the Most High was telling them about different animals. It can be a lamb or it can be a bull, and how, you know, you was to, you know, put the fat on the altar, put the leg on the altar, put the heart on the altar, put the kidneys, the liver. I mean, there was spiritual significance behind that, which, like I said, it would really take us off, but it'd be on the same subject.
Right.
But those body parts represents things that's in us that you're putting on the altar to give to him. Like David said, I will bless, if I can use King James Version, I will bless the Lord, bless the Lord all my soul and all that's within me. When he says all that's within me, and you got to remember, this is a cultural thing. You know, he wasn't saying it, we look at it as mind, heart, you know, soul, spirit. But he was talking about everything in him. He was thinking about that altar. So, you know, it's like, hey, man, my heart I give to you, kidneys I give to you. I mean, because there's spiritual significance behind those body parts, which is, that's another time. And we're probably going to hit on that, you know, a little later. But, and so just to end this thing on this blaspheme thing, simple, just don't worship other gods and ask for, I mean, so that you may be pure, those things that need to be taken out of your life, whether, you know, like I mentioned before, whether it's smoking, whether it's drinking, whether it's drugs, whether, you know, addiction to whatever it may be, pornography, whatever it is. That is a spirit, and that if you're into that, if you have bondage in that, then you're worshiping that, and that's blaspheme. So you want to clear out and get rid of and cleanse yourself from all these things.
I'm going to share, before we close on this point, I want to read Isaiah 52. I'll just read the first five verses, just a precept on blasphemy. I know I appreciate how we're bringing it out, because I think a lot of people expected us to bring out blasphemy in the way that their minds understand it from some Christian perspective or some other far out religious belief, which is if you say, oh, Jesus Christ, that you just blaspheme and you curse, but you know, and I think that they figured that's saying it out of context, and you know, but we understand that. I didn't really want to get into the whole thing about Jay and where that name came from, but we'll do another study on that some other time, and that study is very much available. We're talking about the Most High and how His name has been hidden from His people. But Isaiah 52 gets into a little bit of the perspective that we're bringing from thou shalt not blaspheme, as my brother the elder broke down so beautifully just now. Isaiah 52, awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. That's to wake up. For saith Ahiah, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith Ahiah, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, therefore, what have I here, saith Ahiah, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith Ahiah, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that Ahiah, he that doth speak, behold, it is I. Just share that.
Wow, that, man. Man, I have nothing to say about that. That's, you know, that's one of those where you just sit down and just shut up and don't say nothing, because that's very profound.
What
the master said in self, you know, self-explanatory again. So I, you know, basically I'm not going to even elaborate on that.
He's going to deliver us from this state of not knowing His name and who He is. And that's taking place, that people are waking up to His name and coming up out of this ignorance that was due to our captivity.
Oh, Elder, if you don't mind, can you turn, just to put a cap on it, can you turn also to Hosea 2:17? Not to, you know, dwell on this, you know, much longer, but that one was also one I wanted to.
Hosea 2:17. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name.
Yeah, so to those, to us fellow, you know, Hebrews who turn to Him, He's going to take it. He's going to take these Balaams with Balaam with the M is plural in Hebrew. He's going to take that out of our mouth. And so, but you can make a start yourself. You know, you don't have to wait on Him to do it. You start doing it yourself and have Him cleanse you right now. And that you may be the bride that He, you know, that He that he desires you to be. And just, you know, just in case you don't know, we are His bride. And I'm talking about, you know, the house of Israel are His bride. The church teaches that the father, that Israel is the father's bride, and the church is Jesus' bride, but that's not true. There's only one bride, and it's for the Messiah. And so I just wanted to clear that up.
The fact that 16 does say Ishi, which means the husband, which is the husband of the bride, that body. 16 talks about that, you know, we would call him Ishi, which is Yasha. Yasha, we get Yeshaya, we get Yahushua, we get, you know, Yeshai. It's there. That's what Ishi means, which is husband. And that's what it breaks down into. So he's going to take these names of calling him, oh, Lord, all this bad. Yeah, these names that you hear in the Christian church, people calling him Jehovah, and the derivative of Jehovah, which we've gotten away from, is well, Yahweh, because now I'm hearing too many plays on Yahweh, Yud-Heh-Wah-Heh, and that comes from the Tetragrammaton, and it's a deception to keep us from knowing the real name. Ever since I was a child, when I saw the words I am written down, it always looked different to me. There's something about I am when it's together. You could see that they were trying to hide a name. I am is Ahaya. In the Hebrew, in the phonetic Hebrew, it is Ahaya. And that is his name when he says I am. And he's going to restore that. And his son is Yasha. We say Yahoshua, and some of us say Yeshaya. I want you to know the Father's name.
Yeah.
And he told the man he spoke to give us our tradition and culture, say that I am that I am. Ahaya, Ashar, Ahaya. And I don't know. I know we're elaborating on these points, but it's just part of the lesson for our people to understand. So Hosea 2:16 and 17 are good scriptures for the people to do their studies on. And one thing we don't do here is try and tell you. We want you to do the research and come up with your own conclusions, because it's not our way or the highway.
Right, right.
Right. Let's get into this. Let's cover one more, which would be not to worship idols. And I don't know if we kind of covered that scripture back in Exodus. You want to go back to that one again? Exodus 20. What verse do you
Let's go to Exodus 23:24.
Now, see, I would think that most people would know not to worship idols, but some people don't even know that they're into idol worship. Now, we covered some of this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but I guess we can just... because we kind of already did it. Let's just... do a refresher, I guess, and hit on a couple of points and close it out.
Isaiah 23:24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. That means you got to go to church tomorrow and take that cross out that pulpit, Elder.
Well, hey, man, I don't go to church. Why you put that on me?
Hey, the statues of them little white baby angels and them windows, them stained glass windows of a white Madonna and all that stuff, and you know, and people going up looking at these pictures and crying and kissing these crosses and thinking that's getting them close to God. It's even that simple. But what was you gonna say? I'm sorry, I'm getting off track a little bit.
No, I was gonna read Exodus 23:24, where it says, "Do not bow to their." I'm reading from the Hallelujah Scriptures. Do not bow to their mighty ones, nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but without fail, just like what you said, Elder, overthrow them. And without fail, break down their pillars. One of the biblical, if I could say biblical characters I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. I look up to this guy. He was a young man. His name was Josiah. Man, once he heard that Torah, man, he went on a rampage. And he started cleansing Israel and started breaking down their doing exactly this, tearing down the Belim and the Ashtaroths and the whatever, you know, whatever was they were worshiping other than the Most High. Man, he went on a cleaning spree. And this person is, and at the end of his life, the scripture says that he had more heart after Ahijah than his father David. And that says a lot about, you know, I mean, so this person as a young man, I think he was, when he first heard the scripture, he first came to be king at 8 years old. But I think he heard the scripture at this time, he was about 17, and he just went off. And, man, that's what we got to do. We got to get filled with the Ruach, man, and go off and start throwing, you know, these images out of our houses. Get rid of these CDs of these, you know, these groups and these, you know, these songs that you shouldn't be listening to. If you have any tapes, clean that out. I mean, start cleaning out your own house and just get rid of this stuff, you know. I mean, and not only that, don't throw it in the garbage can where someone can look in there and get it out. Tear them up, break them down. I mean, you know, crunch them up. Because you want to totally cleanse your own house from this stuff. Because remember, just in case you're not aware of, when you watch these things on TV, you're inviting these spirits in your house, whether it be a horror movie, whether it be a freak show or whatever it may be, you're inviting that. When you listen to certain songs, you're opening yourself up to these spirits. And, you know, when I say TV, I'm talking about DVDs, you know, anything that you know you shouldn't be listening, watching. And I'm talking about from experience. If I can give just a little small testimony, for years I used to tell my daughter, hey, don't watch these horror movies and stuff like that. And so while she lived with me, she didn't. But she didn't listen to me. She when she got grown, she loved horror flicks. And one particular night, she went to go see, I think it was Paranormal Activity or whatever it's called. And, man, as she was watching the movie, she got attacked. And when she got in the car and started driving home, she was still getting attacked by a demon to the point to where when she pulled to the side of the freeway, she was crying and hollering, and the person she was with, they both was hollering and screaming. So you would think they were getting jumped, which they were, but, I mean, you would think that they were getting jumped by some humans. And when I came to pick her up, because she was so shaken up, when me and her mother came to pick her up, it took her, and she's still not over this thing quite, you know, she's gotten better. But we had to pray over her, and she was, you know, she was on her own, so, you know, she didn't go home for days and all this kind of stuff. But now she don't watch that, but she should have listened to me in the first place. And so these things are real. When you mess around with these things, you invite these demons in, and she had to learn the hard way. And so I implore you. Like I said, to this day, she's still not quite the same, but you know, she's gotten better. And so, you know, my encouragement to you all is just to obey the scriptures and don't, you know, tear down this stuff instead of bringing it to your home you know, because these things too, they're demons. They're, you know, and you wanna make sure that you're totally free from all this stuff. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Elder? I don't mean to open up my personal life, but it just reminded me of that to you know, let you know that these things are real. And I can go on with other stuff, but I'm not. But you know.
Look, for those of you in radio land, you know my brother used to be in the Christian church, so he still liked testimony service.
Well, we according to Revelation, that's how we're going to beat them with our testimony. So,
yeah, you know, on this, some of your words were cutting out. It seems like every Shabbat, as we go into these lessons, that here on Babylon Talk Radio, some words are blurted out. It's amazing to me, but I take it as a confirmation. So let me reiterate that original scripture. I want to go back to that because I did have something to share.
Mm-hmm.
That was Exodus 23 and 24. And we're talking about these other images and gods, that we're not supposed to serve these idols in other lands and worship them. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. And that bow down in 78:12, that Hebrew word is zakah. Zakah definitely means to lay prostrate. That means lay out before them. And that means to pay them homage and pay royalty. I think the biggest way we are deceived into doing that today is by becoming complacent with society. And people say, show some respect. And so we're told we're not politically correct if we don't respect other people's religions. So we have a tendency to compromise. When you go to that, when you go to that yoga studio that has the statue of Buddha in it, and you laying out doing all those stretches, you're paying homage to their God, and you're actually participating in worship. And you've been deceived enough to believe it's just a form of exercise. When you go into a Chinese restaurant, Japanese, and you think you're being cute, and they have all these images in the restaurant, you go in there thinking it's funny to act like them and bow down to the host and waitress and sing their songs, and they teach you how they do their things. You're actually paying homage to their way of worship of their false fallen gods. So this is how easily we are deceived into paying homage, zakah, prostrate, royalty to their gods. And through ignorance we do it. And see, but it's through ignorance that we as a people are destroyed. Many of us forget that Solomon was deceived, tricked, and seduced by his wives into worshiping their gods. Lust, sex, or wanting to be accepted or to have the love, passion of that woman, he compromised. And I'm going to say this before I read this scripture in Leviticus, that deception of Satan is so subtle through compromising our political correctness that we are deceived by it. Picture this in your mind. When we went into Iraq and took down Saddam Hussein, and I shouldn't say we, I mean America, Babylon, and I'm not a part of that system, so please allow me to correct that, because I'm not lining myself up with Babylon, America, and saying we. But most of the times when we go into a country, we go in, destroy their statues, their images, and take them down, and America would put up its democracy, which is satanic within itself, because we know Satan works through government and through religion. We tear down things, we bring in a new democracy, and then we bring in the Red Cross, and then we bring in Christianity through the Red Cross. And these are some of the things that we do. I keep saying we, excuse me, America, Babylon does. But also, we as Israelites, Hebrews, in this time, were told by the Most High to go in and destroy the entire nation and then take down their statues, their temples, and their gods, and to destroy them so that there was no sign, no images, nothing up for us to be paying homage to. For when you erect something, you're giving it that high esteem. It was clear even in Leviticus 18. I'm going to start from the first chapter. And Ahiah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them that Ahiah, your God, after the doings, after the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. Meaning, after the doings of the land of Egypt where ye used to live, don't do that stuff anymore. Read it the way it reads in King James. After the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. Ahayah. So he was clear that you're to forget what was on you while you were in Egypt and the new lands I'm taking you into. You're not to do the things that they do. That means whatever the Most High brings you out of, you got to stay away from. And wherever he's taking you to, you're not to put that on or begin to copy that. So what am I saying? This emphasizes the reason we look at our culture, which comes from the commandments and laws, again, to know what in America, Babylon, we need to strip off as we prepare ourselves for the wilderness, for Shemayim, for where we're going to be with our brother Messiah, that we are not to become complacent in the name of political correctness, respect my religion, respect my God. America has put all that on us. You don't have to respect none of that stuff or worship any of that stuff. Don't do as they do. Don't think it's cute to walk in some, like I said, some Indian Japanese restaurant and do all these things. He was clear with Moses. He said, what land you came from and what land you're going to, take it off and don't put none of it on, but keep my commandments. And I'm just trying to make it clear, brother, because I know we got so many people that love doing all the stuff that Babylon has told us to do and told us to wear, And it's all idolatry. And we're compromising. We're compromising as we do it, you know?
And we are a peculiar people. And so we are to be a light to the world. We are to be salt. We are to be salt of the earth. And so your ministry, my ministry, and, you know, your ministry is to proclaim or to preach in season and out of season. Because especially now, since the time is drawing near, the Antichrist is on his way, if not already here, we should and ought to all the more start proclaiming the truth and draw our people out of these various religions and bring them back home. When I say I'm talking about the lost tribe of Israel first, and to those who want to be grafted in, you too. But that's our job. And so that's another reason why we bring you these Torah teachings on the Shabbat, so that we would know right from wrong, and we will follow these commands, and but not only follow them, live by them and teach them to your children and preach them wherever you go. That's our job. That's always been our job. We've always been, if I can say, the Kohanim, the priests of the earth. And so we, you know, when the Messiah said that we are the light of the world, or we are the light of the world, we ought to carry that menorah in our hearts, you know, and be the priest that the word says that we are to be. And so, but it starts in your house first. It starts in your home first. Cleaning out these things, and if you're worshiping any of these things, to stop and return to him. And then once your house is cleansed, once your house is straight, you know, then you carry on, outside your home. But it wouldn't make any sense for you to preach to others that something that you're not obeying yourself. And so I'm telling us all to wake up, to wake up, and let's return back to Kodesha, which is set apartness, which the King James called holiness. Let us return back to that in every way. Not because, you want to be all stuck up, or, you just think you're the man, or you just think you're the woman, but because you love him. Because you love him, that you're going to obey his commands, going back to that. And so if you really love him, as a lot of us say we do, then hey, let's show that. Let's show it in our lifestyle. Let's show it in our culture. Let's show it, and live the life that we are called to be, and live the life that He prepared us to live because it's his kingdom. When Yahushua said, thy kingdom come, he's talking about thy kingdom come. Your ways, your teachings, your commandments, everything. You know, everything. And that, when I say everything, I'm talking about everything that the Torah teaches, his kingdom come. And so, but it takes us to start. And, you know, lastly, may, you know, all the house of Israel come together as one. And, you know, let us not fight one another. Let's come together in love in the Messiah. And let's start, as he said, tearing down these things, tearing down strongholds, as Shaul put it. And so so let's do that.
Kawada, Elder R. Dre. And I think that was well said. We're going to get ready to close out, brothers and sisters, for this particular lesson. That concludes the lesson. And I want to say something that I didn't say at the beginning of the show when I was giving an understanding and summation of why we're going into these laws. I'm not going to go back into that, but there was one thing I left out. We're no longer under the curses or the penalties of these laws. We've been delivered from that. We no longer have to make sacrifices and slay bullocks and rams. We don't have to do these things. Once again, we are back into the understanding of the law because it's who we are. It's our culture. It's what we got away from. It's why we're under Deuteronomy 28, the curses. We have the Ten Commandments written in our hearts, and we're to abide by them because that is the complete summation of where we need to be. So, you know, with
and
that.
I thank the Messiah that he covered all sacrifices, whether it be guilt, sin, peace offerings, whatever it may be. Man, he took care of it on the tree, and I'm forever grateful and thank him, you know, for that.
So with that being said, brothers and sisters, we're going to get ready to say our prayers, close out, get back to one of the most important points, fourth commandment, which is keeping the Shabbat. I want you to enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Our Abba, which art in Shemaim, Kodesh is your name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemaim. Continue to give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Most High Father, we worship you and praise you. Thank you. And we praise you for all increases. Hayah b'ashem Yeshaya, Ruach Ruach. Brothers and sisters, this is Elder V, Elder Ardre, and I'm saying that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, not a destination. Hear, O Israel, Yasharel, the Lord our God, Ahayah is one. And our brother Messiah, Shaya HaMashiach, said, Father, I pray that they are one, even as we are one. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
more blessings. That I'm safe when I'm resting. Furniture in my nesting. Not by force, I'm suggesting. You count your blessings. I've got love and assurance. I've got new health insurance. I've got strength and endurance. So I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master. That through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
Count your blessings. Yo, this year, can't wait till it gets here. 7/21/09, my first sun will shine. And it's amazing, I'm about to be raising another made man. And like his dad, they'll praise him. And some will hate him, just cause we're building a nation. Like Bob did with Damien, the world will embrace him. Girls will chase him, foresee they will not break him. And when I'm not around, you look for God and thank
I've
you.
I've got somewhere to dress for. And I've got no need to stress for. And so I'll always put my best forth and count my blessings. And there'll be no need for tissues, cause there'll be no further issues. If you've got someone who miss you, man, count your blessings. And I've got love and assurance. And I've got new health insurance. And I've got strength and endurance. So I've got my blessings. And give thanks to the Master. That through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
You were sitting in the top position. Picture perfect, nothing less cause you deserve it. Without the Hermes, you never hurt it. You knew that you was destined for greatness for certain. To see the overzealous, they be thirsting. Caught up in emotion, you keeping your composure like Gershwin. Songs by Earthwind, keep you in a zone writing verses. So when your pocket's light, know that you have a heavy purpose.
We've got preschool and daycare. We've got pension and welfare. And though not all we play the game fair, still I got my blessings. I've got joy in abundance. I've got life full of substance. I've got meetings and functions. So I count my blessings. I've got something to live for. I've got surplus to give more. And we're all welcome to his door. So I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master. That through all the disaster, we're still here together after. So I count my blessings.
I think you're looking too hard for it. With a double law under your garage door. Appreciate the things you work hard for. And count your blessings, count your blessings. So don't be mad if you ain't fly, y'all. You got the means to reach the level I'm on. You should know that there's only one notch, y'all. But count your blessings, count your blessings.
And I've got tutors to fight in. And I've got news for rejoicing. Now a new sun is rising. I count my blessings. That I'm safe when I'm resting. Furniture in my nesting. Not by force, I'm suggesting. You count your blessings. I've got love and assurance. I've got new health insurance. I've got strength and endurance. So I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master. That through all the disaster, we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.